Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Hello and welcome to Geek Juice Radio. Tonight we are discussing My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
My little pony, my little pony. Ah, my little pony. I used to wonder what friendship could be.
My little pony.
Until you all shared its magic with me. Big adventure.
Tons of fun.
A beautiful heart, faithful and strong.
Sharing kindness.
It's an easy feat.
And magic makes it all complete.
Yeah.
I'm Alex Jowski. With us tonight we have Kevin Daly.
Hello.
And as a special guest from that other show, What the F? Can't say that word.
You can't do that on podcast.
We have Jillian Zarowski-Jones.
Hello.
How are we all doing tonight?
All right. I thought we were talking about the original My Little Pony.
Well, I would definitely be out of my element there.
And actually, I think... Kevin, did you watch the season 2 finale of Friendship is Magic?
I did.
So I you watched them. I don't want
just finished them about an hour ago.
That makes you the most knowledgeable pony guru here because you have now seen every single episode.
I have seen every single episode. YouTube is my friend.
Well, I've been busy filming. We've been doing the snob movie, so my life for the past 3.5 months has just been living and breathing production, so I'm surprised I got as far as I did.
So My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, typically thought of as a show for little girls, but has become popular with people our age.
And older.
And older, even, yes. First of all, how did you hear about My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and what made you initially check the show out? We'll start with you, Kevin.
Browsing the internet, IkenHasCheeseburger.com and their My Little Brony site, I thought the pictures were amusing, and I just felt like I had to see what all the fuss was about, and I ended up really enjoying the show.
Same here, really. In fact, I came to it because, Kevin, you're like, hey, Jowski, go find out what the deal is with this.
Well, I figured you would be more quick to adopt something like that.
Jillian, how about you?
My friend Sarah actually introduced it to me. She had been watching it and was a good, like, 10 episodes ahead of me. And so I saw it somewhat in the middle, and it was kind of funny because I had the nostalgia from the original series, which is kind of interesting because I hadn't seen him in forever and a half. And so I tried to show her the movie, and I was like, oh, this does not hold up well. I was like, well, Danny DeVito's in it. But, yeah, no, it's horrible, especially compared to the new one. And... no, but I remember because I was still held up on the nostalgia, like when Princess Celestia and things like that. I was like, what? No, no. Applejack sounds like a hick. No, no. And then so, but no, I warmed up to him by like the next couple episodes. And I love all the characters. Applejack, though, is probably my least favorite of the main ponies, but I don't necessarily dislike her. And it was kind of funny because I was watching them at home. And so it was the episode where Rarity gets kidnapped by the Diamond Dogs. And I am just cracking up out loud. And I had my headphones on and Brad was working on editing. We were in the same room. And he keeps looking back at me like, what the heck? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It's so funny because it was just that's not whining. This is whining. My saddle's too tight.
Who would you say your favorite pony is?
I'm a Twilight Sparkle kind of guy. The booky one. I was always the book smart one. You know, that's always been me growing up, so I identified with that character very quickly. Plus Tara Strong's voice acting.
And Jillian?
I don't know. I think it's a three-way tie between Rarity, Pinkie Pie, and Fluttershy.
To me, odd man. I like Rainbow Dash the best, but
I love Rainbow Dash too. Sorry.
Because she's so spunky and full of energy.
No, sorry. Unfortunately, I can't believe I forgot. But yeah, I forgot about Rainbow Dash. But I mean, those are my favorite. And I guess Twilight Sparkle and Applejack are lower on the list. But I don't dislike them.
Applejack is my very close second favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I like her accent. And I like her work ethic.
Her work ethic. Working is boring. I want shenanigans and hijinks.
That's also why I like Rainbow Dash.
She's very abrasive.
Rainbow Dash is so the complete opposite of you, though, Jowski. In, like, every way.
I know, she's athletic.
She's sporty and...
I guess that's why I like Rainbow Dash, because that's the person I'm not. The person that I would rather like to be.
You want to fly around. Dear God, please make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from here.
So, Jillian, since you've actually seen the original a lot, how does it compare? I mean, what are
the
differences?
Oh, it's way better. It's way better. I mean, the original, if anyone doesn't know the original, look it up on, like, Google Images. The ponies look completely different. They're kind of, I don't want to say, like, fat, but they're not as, you know, cartoony in the, you know, style that they are online. They're more just kind of more shaped like horses. And they had human characters. It was Megan and some boy and some girl. I don't even remember. So it was like human characters that were kind of incorporated into this land of ponies that were just kind of, you know, we're the besties friends. And there was always like an antagonist, of course, like here and there in the movie, which I don't remember a whole lot about the actual series because, you know, it was young. I was really young. But I do remember the movie. And essentially it was like there was this younger pony like they have, you know, the Cutie Mark Crusade thing. But yeah, that was never a really thing in the original with ponies trying to get their cutie marks. And it wasn't even really explained. It was just, you know, the picture applied to them. And you had Lickety Split was kind of, you know, the hotshot kind of like Rainbow Dash where I'm awesome at everything and I'm not going to conform. And then she runs away at home because she ruins some kind of dance recital. And then it's just, you know, them trying to find them. And there's these three witches that are trying, like, they just hate everything good and sweet. So they want to like ruin the ponies and they get like this ooze thing that makes everything like duck. Drink and dreary is their big thing. And it had some celebrity voice actors in it. And so it was big in its time. I did like My Little Pony and, you know, you had like the Rainbow Bright. But I was more like Transformers and G.I. Joe as well. But I had my little girly side, you know, shown through in some aspects.
See, I was vaguely familiar with it because I had a sister the same age as me. So while I was into He-Man and all that, she was into My Little Pony and Strawberry Shortcake and all that.
I love He-Man and She-Ra. So many like homosexual undertones. So if you go back and watch it.
Yeah, I was a huge He-Man fan as a kid. I had all the toys and everything. My parents still have all those up in their rafters. I probably have hundreds of them up there. Yeah. As an adult, though, you look back on it and go, a little gay.
It's still fun. The one I most remember, because they have them on Netflix, or at least they did, and I just, you know, put on a random episode. It was one of those, this does not hold up well, but it was still just, I love it for nostalgic value. Just like, you know, Captain N, the Game Master, and the Legend of Zelda cartoon. I fully realize how horrible they are, but it's just something about, you know, yeah. It's like, oh, you so messed this up, you guys. Well, even the Dolph Lundgren movie with Masters of the Universe, love that movie. It's horrible, horrible, but I freaking love it, and I own it. But anywho, I forgot. The He-Man thing. Going off topic of ponies. No, it's this one where they're in the Sky Speeder, what have you, and it's He-Man and Orko, and He-Man has him to reach something, or He-Man needs Orko to reach something, so he goes like down below, and there's just like the second or two, and He-Man just kind of tilts his head back and smiles. It was really weird. I was like, oh, what's going on down there?
Now, they've rebooted a lot of shows from our generation lately. In fact, Josh wrote that article on them.
And yeah, Thundercats, He-Man was rebooted.
Took a shot at me and Jowski while he was at it. Still just a little bitter about that.
See, I think I remain somewhat safe in that territory since we do the What the F show. God, it sounds so weird when I say it like that. I'm trying very hard not to cuss, you guys. It's really hard because I'm Italian. And on, of course, the show that has a cuss word in its name, we kind of, you know, go off on that. But I think I'm somewhat safe in that stuff because he knows I will give him so much crap.
Of all the reboots, though, My Little Pony's been the only, in my opinion at least, the very successful quality.
Well, I think it was because of Lauren Faust. I mean, she was a major part of Powerpuff Girls, and that kind of had the same situation to where it was actually a kid's show, but it had a much larger audience. And of course, back when Powerpuff Girls was out, you didn't really have fanfic wasn't really as popular as it is nowadays. And that's kind of disturbing with all the My Little Pony stuff that's out there. I refuse to read it. I was like, that'll just, when I watch the episodes, that's all I'll be thinking about. I'll be like, Rainbow Dash, no, why? Yeah.
I can't read any of that. Jowski read one. What was that one you read?
That You're one so I read now. Was called Cupcakes.
Cupcakes, yes, that one.
Oh, I think you were telling me about that, where it was like kind of a gingerbread house thing where one of the ponies was going to be an ingredient.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie's going to make cupcakes, and she invites Rainbow Dash over, and Rainbow Dash is the ingredient.
Just a dash of Rainbow Dash. Well, see, that's not even as bad, because usually the most disturbing ones are the highly sexual nature.
Yeah, I've not even gone into that slash fic territory.
And actually, there's an app on the iPhone that's a My Little Pony app, and it's got the episodes, but then it also has a complete, like, index of all of this fanfic and brony stuff, which I consider myself a brony. I don't like the term Pegasus or whatever.
Pegasisters is
Yeah, that. I'm just like, psh, whatever, I'm brony through and through. But yeah, there's a big warning on it too, being like, this is not an app for children, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, some parent's not going to read it and just be like, okay, they like My Little Pony, I'm going to go ahead and download this for them. Which, you know, I'm not going to let a little 7-year-old screw with my, like, $700 iPhone anyway, but that's their choice.
Do you get any, either of you, gripe from people about watching what is a kid's show?
Frank, yesterday or 2 days ago, was giving me crap about it. Tom's a little, he does it, sorry, I think it's more sarcastic. He does it jokingly, because I think he doesn't really care that much. And we actually were talking about it today at work, and he was saying, he's like, it's weird, I'm not interested in this, but I love Powerpuff Girls, is what he said.
Yeah, I love
like, well, you'd probably like this too, since it's a very similar.
Well, it was like they had that one video that was essentially introducing certain people to the My Little Pony and gauge their reactions, and they just showed them the opening. I was like, no, if you're going to try and get somebody into My Little Pony, you've got to show them the part where Pinkie Pie loses it, where she basically goes schizo and is having a party because she doesn't think her friends like her anymore, because unbeknownst to her, they're throwing her a surprise party because she's the big, you know, party girl. And so she's like talking to buckets of rocks and flour and stuff and having this conversation amongst herself and like twitching and just going crazy, and it's the most adorably disturbing thing ever, and everyone that I have shown that part to is just like, okay, that is awesome.
Incidentally, that is the first episode I watched, because I downloaded all of season one and I'm like, now which episode am I going to use? I'll pick this one at random, and it was part of one.
Oh, God, I love that episode. That's one of my favorite. But I don't actually get a lot of flack from people I know, unless, you know, they're just kind of doing it ironically to just, because it's, you know, trolling with all the hate out there. Be like, ah. There's one person that I met once that he likes to kind of start shenanigans on Facebook, and we kind of have little epic arguments on that. But anything else, it's essentially just fans online on Facebook will start things every once in a while. But I don't even know if it's just in fun or seriousness. So I don't know. But yeah, it's neat because, of course, it's a kid's show, so they do have the whole, you know, lessons learned at the end, and it's pretty obvious, and be like, oh, this is a lesson about blah, blah, blah. And I find it interesting because everyone seems to learn a lesson, but Rarity will have some of the same lessons because she's really uppity, and she kind of forgets things. Like, there was one in season one that was the season finale where, you know, she wanted to go to the upscale party, and it was, you know, essentially ditching her friends. But then, you know, well, I'm, you know, more comfortable with my friends than around these people. And then the same thing happened in an episode of season two, where she was supposed to be making Twilight's dress for her birthday. And she ends up faking being sick so she could go to these like really posh parties. And then, of course, kind of learns the same lesson. And I'm just like, everybody else learns from their mistakes except Rarity. So that was kind of odd. But oh, and speaking of Pinkie Pie's breakdown, Twilight has one of those too, is when they first brought in the other ponies being able to write home what they learned, which I kind of liked because it got kind of really redundant with Twilight always writing the lesson. So it's kind of whatever the lesson applies to, the pony that learned said lesson will write back. And it was kind of, they did that really well to integrate it so it wasn't weird, is because Twilight had a deadline. And so she was freaking out because she was, you know, hardcore school, and she didn't want to let her down. She's like, oh my God, I have to get this, you know, report in for the deadline. I'm going to miss it. And she's coming up with all of these crazy scenarios that Princess Celestia is going to do to her as punishment. And so it was just, Twilight lost it. But she's creating these horrible scenarios so that she can write back for a lesson learned. And so she's just like going around trying to like make people fight, or it was like, you're mean, what are you doing?
As far as the like lessons and morals at the end of them, what I specifically like about this show is it's not as heavy-handed with those lessons as a lot of kids shows are.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
that's no good.
You can just do the PSAs like G.I. Joe. Because then it would be hilarious if, like, 20 years from now, somebody joke dubs over them.
Well,
Twilight's pretty neurotic. There's another episode where she loses it, one of the newer ones, where it's the time travel one that I was telling Jowski about today. Did you watch that one yet?
No, I got busy when I got home today.
Got busy?
Ow. He wishes.
Aw. He'll be mean.
Okay, Jowski should tell you some of his stories someday. about his antics.
Oh yeah, those antics we won't go into.
Oh, I'll pose the big question discussion of this whole series. How do you guys feel about the derpy situation?
It was weird to hear her talk that one episode.
Which one, the redone one or the original? Because they redid it.
I don't know if I saw. It was one where she was helping Rainbow Dash build something. It was a season two episode. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, that's the one episode.
They had to redub over her because there was such a hubbub about it. Because they said basically they were making fun of mentally handicapped people.
I must have seen the original one then, because it was a little bit offensive.
The Lauren Faust had said about that character is that she had an idea for a pony like that was derpy in nature, that she was going to call Ditzy Doo.
Yeah.
But after all the fans are like, oh, Derpy Hooves, she went with that name.
Yeah, because before she had a name, because she was always kind of in the background and would get in a shenanigan here or there, everybody had essentially named her Derpy. And the thing with that is, you know, they're saying, yeah, okay, I gather maybe the voice was a little too far. But at the same time, she's just supposed to be a ditzy pony. And people were crusading, and you always get these people that crusade on the behalf of, you know, someone who might get offended that applies to them, but the ones crusading, it doesn't apply to. And, you know, we talked about this on our show, and we had people with certain conditions, like, you know, Asperger's and things write in, and they were like, I wasn't offended at all. And so it's kind of interesting because you have a lot of situations like that. And the same actually happens with anything where it's, you know, maybe something with race or with little people, and then you have, you know, other people crusading upon their behalf saying, this is going to offend, you know, little people. And it's like, no, you're the one getting bent out of shape. You know, let them come forward if they're offended by it. And everybody is just so, you know, PC and has sticks up their butts that they're just looking. That's been a big thing this year. I've seen more crusades this year going around Facebook than ever before. And to go a little off topic here, like the thing with the McDonald's lady was, I think, the big first one of the year. And it's like, you do realize that McDonald's are independently owned, and you boycotting McDonald's in your way far away state has no means of bearing upon that particular McDonald's. And people were just going on crusades without knowing the whole story. And it was kind of like, dude, you know, and then you would explain it, be like, well, I know, I'm just blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't even know why. You're just jumping on the bandwagon. It's just, oh, it just makes me angry. But they redid her voice, and they were still pushing for, you know, to completely take her out. And it's like, derp is not a derogatory thing. You know, you do something ditzy, and you're like, oh, derp, you know. And when you say derp, you're not saying, oh, I'm retarded. And so, I mean, her name's not, like, retardy. So... It's just really ridiculous. And did you...
That would be pretty bad.
Her cutie mark isn't a bicycle helmet.
Stop. No, but did you ever see the Save Derpy video?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, it is the saddest video ever. It's Derpy Hooves, and she's under like a spotlight in a black room. And she's just like, hi, every pony. I just wanted to say that, you know, or she's like going into the thing and she was like, I was always in the background and so many people loved me. I decided to come forward and say something, but then people got mad. They called me names like stupid, offensive, retarded. Some want me to go away. And then she starts crying. She's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make anybody mad. I can't help how I am. And she's just like going on and crying, and there's this sad, sappy music. I was like, oh my God, it's like the saddest thing ever.
Now, with regards to people getting offended by the show, there was a review right after the show first started, and it's this person that just laid into like minor elements of the show and made a big deal out of them.
Like, they're what?
They're like, oh, Twilight Sparkle reads all the time. So they're just saying women should just read. Is all they're saying with this.
Brainy, jeez.
And they started going into how racist it was.
Is this the Rainbow Dash lesbian thing?
Yeah, they went into how Rainbow Dash was a lesbian. And then they went into...
They were just giving a fanfic more ideas. That's what they were
doing. And then they went into the fact that there's no black ponies except for right here, these two guards at Celestia's castle. They're both black ponies, so they're being racist by saying that black people are workhorses.
Oh my God! So just because they have a deep voice, like, I know white guys that have a, you know, deep, very white-ish voice. And it would be the same thing if you had ponies on there, like Skids and Mudflap, being like, yo, 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 every pony, what's happening? And be like, Twilight Sparkle, you be reading. And then just like, that would be more racist. Like, what do you want them to do? My gosh. There's no, you know, Chinese ponies. So, like, what if you made a pony with slanty eyes that's like, you know, or her over? Is it like, that would be way worse.
Lauren Faust actually wrote a response to that review where she's like, you know, the show's about breaking Twilight away from being isolated and reading by having her learn about friendship. And it's a kid's show, so Rainbow Dash is tomboyish, and not every tomboy is a lesbian. And with regards to the two black ponies, she's like, that's what worked for that particular, you know, color palette at that moment, you know, but every pony is a different color, you know. Because we have Twilight purple doesn't mean we're making fun of purple people.
they're horses. I think we lose sight of the fact that they are slightly anthropomorphized, but they're horses. So they're going to exhibit a range of colors, though, and some of them not natural to any species, mammalian species in any case.
Like, yeah, it's
blue with rainbow hair.
Yeah, people can read. Oh yeah, rainbow, because they're thinking she's gay. I didn't even put that one together.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the thing too, is just like, you can read anything into any situation and turn it into quote unquote offensive. The episode where Rarity was at one of these, you know, ritzy parties, and of course you had the ponies like, yes, rah, rah. And you know, that's ritzy because, you know, people who have money, because not all people who have money is like that. But there's this one part where shenanigans ensue, and one of the ritzy ponies is apparently wearing a wig, and her wig flies off. And, you know, I was like, see, you could, like, look at that and be like, that's making fun of people who have cats and, like, issues where they have to be bald and wear a wig. It's like, it's just, you know, for comedic effect. I mean, you look at the 80s cartoons, there is stuff that was in the 80s that, you know, yeah, it's pretty bad to where you couldn't get that, you know, away with that anymore, like the handicapped superhero on, I think it was Mad TV. And but I mean, other than that, you look at the villains in Rainbow Bright, I mean, you've got the, you know, it's just like, you've got like the dummy and I'm sure they would say that, you know, they're saying he's retarded, and you just always have those issues. I mean, they have the two adolescent type, you know, not really stoners, but they're just kind of slacker, dumb asses.
The pony Snips and Snails?
Yeah, that's them. And it's just like, okay, well, they've got, you know, essentially acne, and they're all a doy, so read something into that. It's just like, they act more dumb than Derpy does, so...
Yeah. Another episode that generated some controversy was the Feeling Pinky Keen episode, where Pinkie Pie has all those feelings... Those twitches.
Oh, the one with the party that we were talking about?
No, the one where Pinkie Pie, she's
Twilight,
like...
She can't believe that Pinkie has these, like, psychic powers that let her know when something's going to fall or...
Yeah. Okay, what was the controversy?
Because at the end, Twilight just learns to accept what she can't explain on faith. And a lot of people are like, you're making a statement about religion.
Oh my God. And then I'm sure there's people who are like, oh, that's like, you know, witchcraft and, you know, unnatural things. And it's like, oh my gosh, people just
precisely
need to get out of their butts. I'm just like going to go in like, oh God, and the next time an article comes out like that, let me know, because I will just go in and look at the episode that they're talking about and just completely school them on any other inferences and different points of view that can be taken that way to disprove what they're narrow-minded.
And in fact, Lauren Faust also made a statement about that episode where she's like, okay, this is what I was trying to say. I might not have come across the right way, but it's not about that.
Of course, it's a freaking kids show. It's like, there's worse kids shows. I mean, you look at Adventure Time. I mean, I love that show. I really don't think kids should be watching that show. There's a scene where essentially they reenact a scene verbatim from Blue Velvet, where they're hiding in the closet, and Marceline comes in and is kind of like looking around because they're not supposed to be there. And they're looking through the blinds in the closet, and the room is set up exactly the same way. I mean... There's situations in that show that are just very not maybe I don't want to say not appropriate for kids, but more like adult humor where it's just like, really, is like I think this show's hilarious, but I really don't think this should be a kids show. It borders on Ren and Stimpyism sometimes, like, yeah. They're not as slack-jawed, but you know, that kind of humor. So I don't know. You just I'm surprised that show's not getting flack, but everybody jumps on the bandwagon, so I'm sure, you know, the first thing they're looking at, like, oh my gosh, and it's probably only because it has a lot more adults that are fans of it more than kids, so I think maybe that's why it gets picked on. I don't really know, but if you look at even Powerpuff Girls, I mean, you had a villain that was named Sedusa, so... It's just, I don't know, everybody is so overly PC, in my opinion, and...
Well, see, I have a daughter, and the way I address this is, it came part about naturally, though, actually, is because she hates commercials. She would try to sit through a show, and then a commercial would come on, and she'd be like, make the TV show come back on.
You do this now. Bend my will.
I got in the habit of just watching stuff that's, like, on demand or already on DVD, so she doesn't actually watch TV. There's no actual chance to risk her watching something that might corrupt her. She has access to the stuff she likes. And actually, it wasn't even my daughter that got me into My Little Pony, because after I started watching it, she comes and she's like, are you watching ponies?
What the heck, Dad? Jeez, you're lame. But yeah, I mean,
your daughter's
just...
judging your pony addiction.
Yeah. Well, then that's when you just make a snappy comeback at something she likes. Be like, oh yeah, well, this is way better than regular show or what have you.
Oh, like she got into the Strawberry Shortcake reboot movie they have. It was all CGI, but it was Inception. The story, because it was like they go to the dream world, and then the way they change stuff in the dream world is by going to sleep and having a dream within a dream.
Really? I get mad at all of the stuff that becomes CG that shouldn't. I yearn for the days where, you know, Disney would hand-drawn things. And true, some things do work better and, you know, CG and are fine. But a lot of things, I mean, hell, I saw a Flintstones commercial for, you know, like Fruity Pebbles, and they were CG'd instead of hand-drawn. I was like, what the crap is this? And they look weird. It's kind of really creepy. I was like, really? You can't draw a, like, minute and a half commercial? Seriously. I don't understand the CD craze. And, I mean, anybody who knows Brad and I, my husband Brad, we are huge enthusiasts of practical effects. And I'm kind of the same with animation, which I think maybe is a large part as well, where I can get into new anime. I mean, I love the storylines and everything, but it's just, I couldn't imagine if they ever made, you know, completely CG anime. And I know they did that with Final Fantasy, but that was a little different. And I mean, a lot of people may argue with me on that, and it wasn't even that great of a movie.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, and so if they CG'd like Sailor Moon or something, I would be like, what? No, this is wrong. And it's just, it would be creepy. I mean, no, that'd be like also if you had hentai and then they like were CG'ing the tentacles. And I do realize before, you know, you start up your emails and grr comments that, you know, there are aspects within anime that is CG, like certain aspects of Cowboy Bebop, but you know, it works, and it's used to enhance what's already there, which is what CG should do. You know, you can have practical effects and there's only so much you can do, but it should work together with the CG to enhance it, because it really takes you out of it, especially when you're watching a movie with people, you know, live action people, and you have this thing there that's clearly not supposed to be there. Same as with, you know, Tron. It's like when you try and CG a person when the rest of the people are not, your brain is just kind of like, something's not, you know, right there. And it's just kind of, you focus on that, and it's more distracting than it is helpful. It's like, you know, use makeup effects or figure a way to, you know, shoot around it. If it doesn't look right, don't produce it out. I know we're going way off the subject of ponies, but it'll be like even when you do have a movie with a lot of practical effects, but then they'll CG like a car flip when everything else was like exploding. My eyes just got drawn to, you know, that limo that was clearly just kind of a silhouette that just flipped unnaturally. Like, you could tell and be like, oh, well, that was CG'd. And
yeah, exactly what you mean. Like, and they do it especially with 3D. Where they'll shoot a scene, but then they'll CGI in fake 3D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Fright Night I watched, where it was just some outdoor scene of people, but they CGI'd fake grass in front of them to kind of give it depth.
Terrible.
Oh, God, that Nicolas Cage movie where it's like the home invasion. I can't remember the name of it. I got one up on you.
Oh,
the fire. Yes, the fire was all CG, and then they show like the guy on fire was CG, so there was, you know, nothing burning on him. And then the freaking money on the ground was CG fire over it. So it wasn't wrinkling, it wasn't doing anything. It was the most horrible thing. Like, really? You can't even set money on fire? Look at freaking Snow White with Sigourney Weaver and Sam Neill, where, you know, they had someone in a fire suit that's flailing around, and it's like, you know, it wasn't taken out because people were dying in fire accidents. That's what stunt people are for. For doing his own stunts, that man is crazy. But in a good way. And so, I don't know, we're going off way of subject, I'm sorry.
Did you happen to see Cabin in the Woods?
I did not, because Brad had seen it for a vlog, but yeah. I was busy doing pre-production work because we were filming that day, so.
There is, it's at the beginning of the movie, there's pot jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And not my favorite thing, but there were people in the audience that thought it was the funniest thing in the world. They're like, he has a bong! Ha ha ha!
To be fair, the bong was cool, and there were decent pot jokes. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
I plan on seeing it, and Brad told me, you know, a little in depth about it, but nothing that was spoiler, and I do love the joke about that, you know, they're doing this to more people than the main characters, and they're watching the monitors, and they're like, damn Japanese, they always figure it out. And it's like, it's true, they do.
Oh, there is a line in there, because when the Japanese figure it out, the guy's just mad, and he's like, F you! How hard is it to kill 9-year-olds?
They're
the movie, that movie is excellent. I was dumbstruck the whole time. I was like, my mouth open. Jowski is like, you have to see this. It's like Lovecraft meets Portal. I'm like, what? Okay. And it pretty much lived up to billing.
But yeah, don't say too much about it because I do want to see it.
Because I saw it and then I'm like, Kevin, you need to see this movie. And I waited all week and it was like, I wanted to talk about it so bad and just discuss the ending and things like that. But I took willpower to bite my tongue for a week until he...
And I almost didn't go on, because I go to movies on Thursdays because my wife has class after work. We commute because she goes to school in the same city I work. And so I end up waiting around for an hour and a half. So I usually go see a movie. And I wasn't going to go because the movie time was really early and I had to leave work early. And I'm like, is this worth leaving work early? He's like, yes. I'm like, fine, I'll go. And I'm glad I did.
That's funny. Yeah, Brad spoiled for me the cameo at the end. But we were kind of having a conversation and it was after the bars. And he was like, yeah, that's the person. I'm like, it's all right. We've gone way off the topic, by the way.
We have gone way off topic.
That's
so
fine.
Then ponies show up in Cabin in the Woods, and they start doing the same thing to the ponies, and so, no.
But back to My Little Pony. Arbitrarily, what is your favorite episode? We'll start with you, Kevin.
I do like Party of One.
You know the episode names. That's impressive. I do not.
My wife likes the one, I can't remember the name of this episode, where Spike gets really greedy and turns into a giant dragon.
I can't.
Oh, yeah. That is really bad lesson. Essentially, Alex, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Do you mind if I talk about it, or is it like a
spoiler
thing? Okay. What it is it's Spike's birthday, and he gets a present, and essentially he's never really gotten a present before, which number one is BS because he's like, you know, the pony's friends, and everybody else gets presents. So with the dragon's nature, of course, you know, history dragons, they hoard. So he gets us one present, and then he starts going around. He's like, hey, it's my birthday, and people keep giving him things. And as he's hoarding all the stuff and taking stuff, he's growing into a dragon and essentially kind of loses himself and turns into pretty much an adult dragon. And then, of course, you know, he's kind of brought back by Rarity because he's got the hots for her. And she kind of snaps him out of it, and he turns back to normal size. And essentially, you know, it's said that they have to keep stuff from him so this doesn't happen again. I was like, that's horrible. So you're never gonna let him grow up? It's like, just so he, you know, stays nice? And it's just like, that's kind of the way people are. It's,
yeah,
like,
you know, I've seen
you're nice when you're younger and then you turn into a douchebag.
But the lesson shouldn't have been like, oh, we have to keep this from him. It should have been the ability to control that kind of selfishness as you grow older.
Now, yeah, to be fair, he's a dragon.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of intrinsic to dragon nature, to hoard and to be greedy.
But I just meant the lesson of it. I mean, obviously, yeah, don't be greedy. However, the essence of the episode is still, you know, keeping Spike a kid forever so he doesn't get to be a big, greedy, you know, dragon. And you can look at it and be like, oh, he's just a dragon, doesn't matter. But, you know, the ponies are essentially people. I mean, you could make this into any kids' show where they're not ponies. They're, you know, regular people because they have those traits. So I really didn't – it's not that I didn't like that episode, but it was just like, really? That's a horrible thing. And it's just like, you know, make it a spell and his choice or something. But it's just like, you know, we'll have to make sure that doesn't happen again. It's like, okay, so he's going to be, you know, a little kid forever. All right.
It should have been just a responsible decision on Spike's part to understand how to...
It was in a way. It's not like he was all gimme afterwards and they're like, no, you can't have anything. But at the same time, they had to have some way for him to de-evolve back into his normal form. But they don't directly say we're going to keep him a kid forever, but that's essentially what it is, because they kind of, I believe they even say something about, you know, that's how dragons grow, is they, you know, get greedy and they become what he became. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was just a really bad, I think they could have done something else about greed with a different character to where that wasn't the shtick of the episode, is him growing up and being a horrible, greedy being and then just needing to stay a kid forever and not being like that. So I don't know.
There's another episode later where Spike wants to learn more about what it means to be a dragon, and he joins this mass dragon migration and talks to some teenage dragons and finds he doesn't really like dragons very much. That's a pretty good episode, too. But
although the whole fact that Spike has a crush on Rarity, that this dragon has a crush on a horse.
Oh, Brian from Family Guy dates chicks and screws them, so that's essentially bestiality and nobody cares. Just saying.
Yeah, I always was kind of disturbed. I'll be honest, I've always been kind of disturbed by that particular aspect of Family Guy. Because I'm not a big fan of that show anymore anyway, but...
Me too. It's gone downhill, but I love American Dad. Before we go off on another tangent...
So, Jillian, your favorite episodes that you can think of offhand?
Oh, God. Obviously, the Pinkie Pie one. One of the episodes I wasn't too fond of is when Rainbow Dash's Griffin friend comes and she's just this big giant yeah, I wasn't a fan of that episode because to me it was like, well, Rainbow Bright isn't believing her friends and Pinkie Pie was never like that, so it's kind of okay. But I do like the one where Fluttershy gets those sprite things, I forget what they're actually called, and they eat up everything and then they evolve and Pinkie Pie knows how to kind of get them away and does the little Piper thing. And she's getting all these instruments, like nobody's listening to her. And then she's just going around with this, like, yeah, like this one man or this one pony band, kind of like she reminded me of Bert from Mary Poppins, which is all the gear on doing the little thing. And
the Pinkie Pied Piper.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, I love the episode where I think it's all the curses or something and it's raining chocolate. And she's just like, chocolate rain! And she's so excited.
That's one of the Discord episodes from the beginning of season two, I think.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
With John DeLancey.
But, yeah, oh, that's a thing to mention. The opening to season one is really good. And season two opening was essentially a rehash of the first one. It was just kind of the same two-episode theme, you know, where they're kind of relearning their friendship and having tests, so... You know, I luckily gave it more of a chance because I was just kind of like, oh, you know.
I loved the season two opening, though.
That's because you're a Q fanboy, Jokey.
it's
not that I didn't like it. It was just kind of like, I think they could have done something a little different with it. It was just kind of, it was really a rehash of the first episode to where they were bringing everything back. But I like the episode, the Halloween one with Nightmare Moon. Where she's trying to integrate into, you know, society and everybody's still really, really scared of her.
She speaks Canterlock.
Yeah, and she's just, you know, talking in this booming evil voice because that's all that she knows. So she's like, I am here!
She speaks in like with like the royal we.
Yeah.
She's been so out of it for 1,000 years that she doesn't realize people don't talk like that anymore.
My favorites right now, Kevin's seen it, but I'm not going to spoil it for you, Jillian, is the season two finale. Because it's called A Canterlot Wedding. And from a title like that, I was expecting, okay, it's going to be an episode about a wedding. It's just going to be kind of cutesy stuff. It turns into epic awesomeness come episode two.
I thought it felt like a Disney movie, especially with the songs and the way it all plays out.
Yeah, because it is musical. More than in the other episodes where you'll have a musical number, this one has musical numbers... plural to emphasize mood.
Four or two in a reprise, three in a reprise. I can't remember.
I like when Fluttershy becomes essentially a fashion model and Rarity's all jealous.
Green is not your color, I think is the name of that episode.
Yes, green is not your color.
You and your index of episodes and knowledge and stuff.
We were actually jousting. I was just talking that episode earlier today, so that's the only reason why I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the musical numbers I'm kind of meh on. It just seems like they're thrown in there just to be thrown in there. Other ones, I really like them. I'm not a fan of the Cutie Mark Crusaders.
That song.
I so love the Cutie Mark Crusaders.
I'll bet you do.
I love their song. Their song sounded like...
Okay, that was
like
different.
80s glam rock.
Right, that was cool. But just as a whole, the episodes end up being really weak. At times, there are a few episodes that are good. I like the Cutie Pox one, where she essentially does a spell, and so she keeps getting all of these different cutie marks, and then can't control her talents and just starts going like crazy, having to do everything that she gets. And I don't know. There's a lot of really good episodes, but every once in a while, it's kind of here and there.
What I love about that specific episode, though, with the Cutie Mark song, what is the name of that episode? The Showstoppers is the name of it. Because you see early on in the episode, as the audience, you see what their talents are and what they're good at. And the humor and everything comes from the fact that they don't realize it.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, okay, you guys have seen more of season two than I have. Do they ever get their freaking marks?
No.
Not by the end of season two.
That doesn't make sense, because it's kind of like they did find, you know, their talents, and they do have talent, so they should get them. And it's just them, like, trying to... It's just this. It's going to be the same shtick, and they need to eventually just end it and get their marks.
Yeah,
because
that's what I was just thinking. Watching, they just did another near the end of season two. They have an episode where they become gossip columnists, and it's a pretty good episode. I'm thinking, it's like, at a certain point, this has to end.
Yeah, it's starting to get old.
That particular plot thread is going to have to wrap up at some point, because it's just starting to wear out its welcome.
Get a lot of background ponies with really odd cutie marks, and you try to wonder what that... Like Derby Hooves, for instance, her cutie mark is Bubbles. So what is it she's good at?
Well, Airhead, I think, is what that is. Like.
I think they mentioned before that she's a diver.
Oh, is she?
Oh, really?
I think I've heard that before, that she's a diver and she can swim, but it's not brought up very often.
I see a lot of pictures of her with male, and I don't know what that's about. Like, kind of post-man-ish?
I had a realization today that I think this might be post-apocalyptic Earth.
So yes, because of the city names.
The city names are... I know they're jokes, but if you look at it on its face, why would they have names that are exactly like modern human
Philadelphia,
names?
Baltimore... Mare
they just took the original names and modified them when the ponies took over.
Or it's a prequel to life.
Lost Pegasus is the name of the Vegas city.
I don't know. Yeah.
I was bored at work
today. Way too much into it. Dear Florence Yost, clearly.
But anyway.
From the heart of my parents' basement, I stab at thee.
I did see a fan art of My Little Pony with the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
I'm Alex Jowski. Kevin?
I'm Kevin Daly.
You can find us at www.geekjuicemedia.com. Jillian, where can people find you?
I am Mrs. JZ Jones on Twitter. I am on my husband's site as various characters on thecinemasnob.com. And Jackalope Radio, if you want to check out the show What the F, fill in the blank.
I'm sure you know what to fill the blank in with.
Whatever could it be?
But that
and
is.
I'm also on Facebook.
That is all the time we have for tonight. We will catch you all next week.
Thank you for having me.
The boy was in the hallway drinking a glass of tea. From the other end of the hallway, a rhythm was generating. Another boy was sliding up the hallway. His gold nerves merged perfectly. He merged perfectly with the hallway. He merged perfectly. The mirror in the hallway. The boy looked at Johnny. Johnny wanted to run, but the movie kept moving as planned. The boy took Johnny. He pressed him against a locker. He drove it in. He drove it home. He drove it deep in Johnny. The boy disappeared. Johnny fell on his knees. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started crashing his head against a locker. Started laughing hysterically. When suddenly Johnny gets a feeling he's being surrounded by horses, 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 horses coming in all directions, white, shining, silver, studs with their nose in flames. He saw horses, 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 horses. Like Boney Maroney. See you. stop here for? Can't you show me nothing but surrender? Johnny gets up, takes off his leather jacket, digs to his chest. There's the answer. He got 10 knives and jack knives and switch blades. Silken hair and found a stair, and I didn't waste time, I just walked right up and saw that up there, there is a sea up there, there's a sea up there, there's a sea, sees the possibility, there's no land but the land, there's no sea but the sea, there's no keep up there. There's a wall of possibilities. Possibilities up there. There are several walls of possibilities up there.
First possibility
is the sea around me. I'm standing there with my legs spread like a sailboat. I felt his hand on my knee on the screen, and I looked at Johnny. Handed him a branch of coral flame in the heart of man. The waves were coming in like Arabian stallions, gradually lapping into seahorses. He picked up the blade and he pressed it against his smooth throat, spoon, and let it dip in the veins, dip in to the sea, of possibilities. Dip in.
Started hardening in my hand.
To the sea.
And I felt the arrows
of possibilities.
Of
I put my hand inside his cranium. Oh, we had such a brainy a red stream around to a simple rock and roll song.